Would you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5? Matthew chapter 5. You know, on my day off, I was just kind of thinking and thinking out loud, and I was thinking, what are some ways of making things better? What are some ways of doing things to improve what we already have now? I was in one of those strip malls where you walk down the sidewalk and you walk past the doors of some of the stores, and I walked past one of the stores and I felt a burst of cool air. It must have come from between the store doors. Maybe they were opening or closing. And I thought, what if every store in the city turned their air conditioning on high and opened the doors and all the cool air burst out and all the cool air blast out? Summer would be over with. It would be cool everywhere. Now, that's a dumb idea. That is so silly. I shouldn't tell anybody. That is an absolute ridiculous idea. Here's another one I thought of, just kind of letting my mind run crazy. An idea that would improve what we already have. What if, now let your imagination go, what if the government, you know, the government that buys hammers for $100. You know, the government that has to fix Social Security, which is going bankrupt. What if the government provided health care, universal health care for everyone? No, that's one of those silly ideas. That's another one of those ridiculous ideas. You know, that's another one of those ideas like opening the doors and letting all the air conditioning out and cooling the city. Just won't work. Another idea, another one I thought of, an idea that maybe would improve what we have already. What if we took all the cornfields in America? What if we took all the corn grown in America and we turned it into ethanol? You know, we could help save the planet. We could reduce our dependence on oil and all those great things. No, that's another one of those silly ideas. I mean, there would be no corn for cornflakes. There'd be no corn for important things like, you know, food. So many times, it is hard to improve what is already good. So many times, it is hard to improve something that already has sound fundamental principles. And you know, when it comes to this book, the Bible, when it comes to this eternal, life-changing book, the teachings of our Lord, you can't make an improvement. When it comes to our topic today in Matthew chapter 5, there is no improving God's plan for marriage and family. God's plan is one man and one woman in holy covenant before Him, following Him. And there is no way in this world, there is no way in this universe, there is no way any new generation or any different culture can improve on God's perfect plan. Are you here today with the spouse you have made vows to? Be loyal to the spouse that you are with today. Celebrate and embrace God's plan for marriage, God's perfect plan for marriage. Pray with me for a moment. Our Lord, we just lift up our minds and hearts today. We pray that you might speak to us from Matthew chapter 5 in regards to adultery and your stern warnings against it. Lord, speak to our hearts and lives, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, oftentimes, the religious leaders of Jesus' day tried to trick him. Do you remember the story of the woman caught in adultery? And I don't want you to turn there, but I want to read some of that story. It's in John chapter 8. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. This woman was with someone who was not her husband. And they went on to say this, "Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" So here they are before Jesus. "We found a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. The Old Testament said it was a capital offense. What say you, Jesus? What do you think of all of this?" You know, to the people of Jesus' day, it was just a big game. They were not worried about God's perfect plan for marriage. One man and one woman in holy covenant before God, following him. The religious leaders of Jesus' day wanted to trick Jesus. Here it was. "Now Jesus, don't stone this woman caught in the act of adultery, and you'll go against the law of Moses. If you say, stone her, you'll go against Rome, who alone could execute." Let's trick Jesus. Any option that he chooses will be wrong. Let's trick Jesus, and adultery is the game we will play. That's the approach of the religious leaders in John chapter 8. You know how the story goes with the woman caught in adultery. Jesus bends down, he writes on the ground. And at one point Jesus said, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And one by one, remember the story? One by one, those that brought the woman melted away. And then Jesus showed grace and mercy and forgiveness. He said in part to the woman, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Well, in our passage this morning, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus preaches two things on the subject of adultery. The first thing is this. Adultery is more than just someone caught in the act. It is an activity of the heart. And the second thing Jesus is going to preach, adultery is no game to play. Adultery is dead serious sin. So the first thing, adultery is more than just someone caught in the act. It is an activity of the heart. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Jesus speaking, the Sermon on the Mount. "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh at a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." You know, oftentimes on Mondays, I will read Sunday's paper. I will look at the sales flyers and think of all the things I could buy at bargain prices that I don't really need. I obviously read the most important part of the paper, the funnies. I often also look at the obituaries. And I tell you, when I see someone who is a young adult or a child in the obituary section, and my heart hurts to see that. This week there was an 11-year-old girl. Her name was Ashley. And it doesn't matter who they are or what they've done. It hurts to see a life cut off in their prime. Oftentimes I look at the local crime section of the paper as well. I read the stories of robberies and attempted murders and all kinds of things that have happened in the city and roundabouts. And I look at the photos of those people that have been taken and charged. And I try to see who they are as people. Well, then I close the paper. I'm certainly glad that I was not in the obituaries. I'm glad that my picture hasn't shown up in the local crime section. Close the paper and go on my business. Do adulterers, our subject this morning is adultery, do adulterers ever show up in the local crime section of your local paper? Not in our day. But do you remember a novel written by Nathaniel Hawthorne? It was called The Scarlet Letters. And in real life, a number of New England communities in the 1600s required an adulterer to wear letters publicly signifying their crime, almost like being published in the paper. The Plymouth Colony of 1671, listen to this. Adulterers were sentenced to wear two capital letters, A.D., cut in cloth and sewn on the uppermost garment on arm and back. In if at any time they shall be found without the letters so worn while in this government, they shall be forthwith taken and publicly whipped. Those who commit adultery in our day don't show up in public condemnation, don't show up in newspapers in our day. But do you remember a man by the name of John Edwards in the 2008 election? Do you remember going back quite a bit further? Do you remember a man by the name of Gary Hart? His bid to become president was sunk in 1987 when he was pictured all over papers, all over this country, with another woman who was not his wife on a boat called Monkey Business. Now you might say, you know, Pastor, none of that applies to me. Pastor, that would never happen to me. Whether in the 1600s with the public wearing of letters on my shirt, or whether in 1987 or in 2008, my picture would never be plastered all over the news for adultery. My political, business, or personal life would not be destroyed by the act of adultery. I would never be seen pictured with another woman, not my wife. But Jesus says this, Matthew chapter 5, remember the words we just read? Matthew 5, verses 27, 28. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Another translation, you must not be guilty of adultery, but I tell you, that if anyone looks at a woman and wants to sin sexually with her, in his mind he has already done that sin with the woman. Adultery is not just an act reported by a newspaper. It is an activity of the heart. And look at verse 28. Notice the word looketh when it speaks about looking upon a woman. Now, some people say that if a man looks at a woman the second time, that if a man looks at a woman, you know, it's the second glance. That is the crossing of the line. It may be. It very well might be. But look at the word looketh in verse 28 of Matthew 5. The word looketh means this: intent, earnest contemplation to covet her. When you dwell on a woman and say, I would if I could, that is the activity of the heart that goes against a holy, holy, holy God. You know, there are women who dress seductively in this world. There are women in this world who like to tease and tempt. But it is the responsibility of the individual to live for God. It is responsibility of a married man to turn away and to live for God. Luther said this, you can't prevent the devil from shooting arrows of evil thoughts into your heart, but take care that you do not let such arrows stick fast and grow there. Do as a good old man of past times has, when he said, I can prevent a bird from flying over my head, or I can't prevent a bird from flying over my head, but I can prevent him from making a nest in my hair. Kind of a proverbial saying, but it's so true. I can't prevent a bird from flying over my head, But I can prevent him from making a nest in my hair. I can't prevent the fact that there are those around me that perhaps aren't dressed well, but I can prevent the sin of lust and adultery from settling in my heart. Turn the channel. Put the magazine down, even if it's a news magazine. Look the other way. Do what it takes to honor the Lord. Do what you must do to obey God in your heart. You know, the other night, I was in the gym, and there was nobody there. It was kind of getting a little bit later. And a program was on that was going to show in the next segment a lewd video of one of our popular pop stars in our culture. I turned that thing off. I turned it to CNN. I mean, CNN of all things. But that was so much better than being exposed to some lewd video from some program. It was just me in the gym. No one else was there. I didn't turn it for any person or to look good in front of any other person. I turned it for my heart so that my heart would be kept right before God. By the way, is Jesus just speaking to men in Matthew chapter 5? Is this just a man thing? Arthur Pink, perhaps you've read some of his scholarly work. Arthur Pink, a well-known Bible scholar, said this: if lustful looking is so grievous a sin, then those who dress and expose themselves with the desire to be looked at and lusted after are not less, but perhaps more guilty. In this matter, it is not only too often the case that men sin, but women tempt them to do so. How great then must be the guilt of the great majority of modern misses who deliberately seek to arouse the sexual passions of young men? And how much greater still is the guilt of most of their mothers for allowing them to become lascivious temptresses? You know, dressing and what women call is hot, dressing and being what women call in this culture hot is not for co-workers. It is not for customers of a business. It is not for classmates to look at in school. Hot is for your husband. Hot is for your husband, or if you're not married, for the husband God will give you someday. And so the word here in Matthew chapter 5, I believe, speaks to not only men, but I think there's a lesson for women as well. Adultery is more than just something someone caught in the act. Adultery is an activity of the heart. It starts with decisions that are made in the heart. Secondly, in Matthew chapter 5. Secondly, adultery is no game to play. Adultery is dead serious sin. Do you remember the religious leaders with the woman caught in adultery? Remember how we spoke about that a few minutes ago in John chapter 8? They were playing a game of trickery with Jesus. Well, they were right. They were right about one thing. They were right when they said this: now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. The Old Testament law certainly did say that those caught in adultery were to be put to death. It was so serious. It was such an assault on God's perfect plan of marriage that the punishment in the Old Testament for adultery was death. And though the New Testament does not speak of the death penalty for adultery, the Lord is still dead serious about the sin of adultery. It is no game that people can play without getting burnt. It is no game that people can play and they have no consequences. I have been reading the book of Proverbs lately for my devotions and my personal prayer time. You know, in the book of Proverbs, there are stern warnings from Proverbs that are like a neon sign when you read that book. Stern warnings in regards to sins of the heart, like adultery. Proverbs chapter 4, for instance, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart, for it affects everything you do." Guard your heart. Proverbs chapter 6 says this, "Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent." And the Proverbs tell us that adultery brings death and ruin. Proverbs chapter 6 says this, "Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways," speaking of the adulteress. "Do not let your heart turn to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death." Proverbs chapter 6 says this, "For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life." Adultery, think about it. Adultery can take your purity. Adultery can take your dignity. Adultery can take your family. Adultery can take your peace and reduce your life to a worthless crust of bread. That's what Proverbs is saying. In our passage today, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is dead serious about adultery. Look at Matthew chapter 5 again. Now read with me verses 29 through 30. Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 through 30. "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Verse 30. "And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Some pretty serious language there. I think about it this way. In our home, ever since TV went digital, and ours didn't, we have digital TV, we have not picked up the signal yet, and ever since that time, we've been watching DVDs of old-time programs. You know, programs that ran 10, 20, 30 or more years ago. Programs like Bonanza. Recently, we've watched, maybe you remember this, Big Valley. They're Western dramas. In a recent episode of Big Valley, there was a robber who was shot right in the stomach. He was brought into a church and he was put on a table, and they gave him a piece of leather to chomp down on. They took some crude tools and went to operating. You know how those programs work. And there was no washing of hands or anything. They just take those tools and go in and pull out the bullet. And pretty soon he's wrapped up and he's ready to go. He's all better. Now, does Jesus want us to do that kind of surgery when he speaks to us in Matthew 5, 29 to 30? If we are tempted to have lust in our hearts, are we to chomp down on a piece of leather and start carving out our right eye, the best eye? Are we to chomp down on a piece of leather and start cutting off of our right hand that might turn to adultery? Jesus is so dead serious about adultery. Jesus is so dead serious about the sin of adultery. If it were possible to stop the sin of adultery by cutting your eye out, by cutting your right hand off, do it. Of course, it is not possible for that to be the cure. Any cutting would have to include cutting the heart out. Remember, that's where it all starts. And maybe that's the answer. The heart. A heart transplant. A new heart. Not a new physical heart. A new spiritual heart. You know, Jesus talks about hell in this passage in verses 29 and 30. There is a real place of torment. There is a real place called hell, a place of torment where everything of God and everything good is gone. Men and women that have sin in their hearts, like adultery, and they do nothing about it. They may never have trusted Christ as their Savior. They need the blood of Christ on their heart. They need a new heart. Is that you today? And then how about this? How many Christians could say from last week, I have never been angry. I have never had anger so much that I felt that I wanted to wring someone's neck. That's never been me. And then from this week, I've never had lust. I've never had a lustful thought about someone who was not my marriage partner. Today must be a day of honesty. Today must be a day of honesty. For some, you need a heart transplant. You need a new heart for Christ. You need the salvation that Christ and Christ alone can give. For some who have trusted Christ once and forever, you need to confess. You need a fresh start in your walk with God. Maybe today is a day of decision. Maybe today is a day of decision for you. Pray with me for a moment. Lord, is there anyone listening to Matthew chapter 5 in this message? Is there anyone listening who needs to trust Christ as their Savior? They've got sin in their heart. They've never done anything about it. And Lord, I pray, is there someone here who needs to make that once and forever decision? Lord, I pray, are there Christians here today? They've trusted Christ and they'll never lose their salvation. But Lord, is there someone here today? They've had adultery in their heart. It is unconfessed. And it's a day of honesty. It's a day of saying, Lord, help me. I am through with it. I need a fresh start today. Lord, I pray that you would work in the hearts of people here in our midst. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.